The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman Amana Daikin Brands. Today, we're joined with Jay West. He's with Air Advice for Homes. Jay, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the first question I love to start off and ask everybody, how in the world did you get into the HVAC industry?
It's good. That's a great question. I still kind of roundabout. I'm still kind of, you know, next to the HVAC industry, I guess. So in 2008, I was in a working band. I was in a metal band called Imperial Battle Snake.
Okay.
Yeah. And it sounded like it was named. So, you know, it was, you can look it up, Google me. But, you know, I had my first kid, and it was, you know, and I knew that I really needed to get a serious job, a career. I wanted to do something. But I had always felt like I wanted to do something that mattered. I knew I needed to have something steady, a steady income, but I wasn't really money motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So the guitar player in the band, his girlfriend worked for a community action group called CETA, which is the Community Economic Development Association in Cook County. And Cook County is the county that the city of Chicago is in. And she said, hey, I think you'd be perfect for the weatherization group.
Mm.
So I said, okay. I spent 2 days studying what blower doors were. I got totally prepared for this interview. I went into the interview. They were like, do you have any questions? I was asking questions that nobody had. They were like, I don't know about that. I never really noticed that. I was like, well, I read your handbook. So I got the job on the spot. At that time, 2008 was right before the ARRA funding came out. So had about a year, I used to do 2 energy audits a day, 4 days a week. So my first year there, I did about 400 energy audits. Everybody that worked there would do about 400 energy audits. So we were immediately in homes seeing, you know, and of course that included the HVAC system. So we're looking at the shell of the house. The HVAC system, and then the people themselves. So there was those sort of 3 perspectives that we looked at every day, twice a day. After about a year of that, we needed to ramp up. We were going to start hiring hundreds of people. We went from, and I'm guessing here, but it was something like $10 million to $90 million in funding. So, they started to build out a training department. And I was hired as a trainer basically a year in. And when we started to do that, going back in 1995, I graduated from college. And I had 2 degrees in the sociology field, human sexuality and social psychology.
Okay.
That's true. Luckily, we're not at a bar and I'm not a single a guy and you're not a single gal. You would think I was lying. And then I have 2 minors in psych and philosophy. And what I realized when I started to get into training was that I really love learning about how people's brains work. And I'm really super interested in how you can use a process to change, to help people change, to be able to do things that they couldn't do before. It's almost like a ethical manipulation. You know, it's really an incredible, and it feels great. So. I had to learn more about, you know, about the technical stuff, because when you teach stuff, you know, you want to make sure that you learn. And that's really, so I started learning more and more about HVAC as well as, you know, insulation, building science, number of other subjects. So I was there for about 4 years, and then I started working for Retrotech, who's a blower door company.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent about 5 years there as one of their training guys. And then of course we, you know, one of the things, the blower door company, they also do duct testing. So as a guy that was sort of, again, adjacent to the HVAC field, learned a lot about ductwork delivery systems and testing them, and really the more of the scientific stuff. And then I went back to CETA, and I was the training manager. We built out a training center, and after being there for another about 5 years, COVID hit.
Mm.
And when COVID hit, at that time, I had been doing onboarding trainings for Air Advice for Homes. So with Air Advice for Homes, they make monitors, and then you also have a subscription. And part of that subscription is that you get unlimited training and customer service. So they needed a training guy. And so I had, you know, always had done for 5 or 6 years, I had been doing these onboarding trainings early morning before I started work, once or twice a week. And then they asked, you know, if I wanted to come full time. And after COVID, I thought, what this is a really huge opportunity. People are now really going to be thinking about indoor air quality more. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know, this is really going to open up people's minds to this. And even though I'm, you know, I was working in community action and I was doing good things for people and helping people, it was only in the Cook County area. So, which was a huge area, but I can now help train contractors all over the United States and Canada to help people with indoor air quality. And the more that they do that, the more money that they make. So the more other contractors are going to start saying, hey, this indoor air quality thing's a good thing. So it, to me, it was a win-win situation. I could help people help make money doing good things, help, you know, just society in general. I know that sounds cheesy. And I could really get a much farther, you know, much farther reach. And I could work from home.
So, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. Our paths, different points in our careers. So I was over at Air Advice as well early on in their startup phase. And what's interesting is during that time, after Air Advice had gotten about 10,000 different tests, and you guys are well into the hundreds of thousands of tests that have been in homes now, we actually created what they called the State of the Indoor Air Quality Report. Mm-hmm. I think one of the big challenges for HVAC contractors, a lot of times they work in the physical. I can see that the hot surface igniter is broken, or I can test that the capacitor is bad. And so I know that there is a problem, and I can fix the problem mm-hmm. by changing that part out. When you get into indoor air quality, there's a lot of invisible things that you're doing. But what I always loved about Air Advice is it takes that invisible and makes it visible. Talk a little bit about the state of the indoor air quality. When we take a look at residential spaces today, what are the things that you're seeing with all of the tests that you guys do and put together?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we actually have recently took about 300,000 tests, a little mm-hmm. over 300,000 tests that have been done recently, last 5 to 6 mm-hmm. years. Because all of the tests that are done with our monitors, all the information goes through our server mm-hmm. and then it digests it and it makes a report for the contractor to use to present to the home. But as you said, we have all of that data. We don't sell it. We don't right. use it for marketing or anything like that. But in Portland, Oregon, where the home company is, started to talk to Portland State and some of the IAQ people over there. And they said, we really like to use this information for some of our data scientists. They cleaned it up, you know, made it a little bit more, you know, firmed it up a little bit. And the initial things that we're seeing are, of the 6 parameters that we test for,
mm-hmm.
about 38% of homes, something around 40% of homes have elevated levels of particles, less than PM10, which is the little invisible stuff that floats around and aggravates your respiratory system. Slightly less, somewhere around 30%, I think 35% of homes have elevated levels of chemicals, VOCs.
Mm.
Over 60% of homes have elevated levels of CO2.
Mm.
And that's the one that I think is the most fascinating. Now, we test for temperature, relative humidity, and carbon monoxide, things that you would pretty much guess. And obviously, those are more regional.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon monoxide, I think it's like 0.8%. So it's rare that we ever see that. But yeah, to answer your question, it is carbon dioxide. And that, I think, is the next great, I think is going to be the next big topic in the HVAC and indoor air quality, the one that I think is going to kind of filter up to the, you know, mainstream media, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, kind of the funny thing in our industry for a long time is the people always talk about what happens when you take the ventilation out of HVAC.
Right.
Well, then you become a hack.
You got a hack, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting when we look at that ventilation space, because so few contractors really take the time to understand, you know, how many air changes should I have per hour? Should I be having my building in a slightly positive or slightly negative pressure, or you know, do I try to dial it in to be neutral? You know, what are the impacts of all of these different things? But when you look at commercial spaces, even, you know, even getting into that, how many economizers are out there completely disabled because the contractor just didn't want to work on them?
Right.
You know, look at these fresh air dampers. I built a home here in Houston. And when we were dialing the system in, I said to the contractor, you know, we need to make sure that we get the blower speed set correctly because the humidity levels are too high in my home. And they said, well, that's just because you have this fresh air intake. I said, no, we're going to keep the fresh air coming into the house. We're not going to change that. But what are you doing? How are you helping your contractors as you're doing these readings? You're doing all this training to help contractors prepare and to be able to solve problems with ventilation or filtration.
Well, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, education, that's clear, but what I'm trying to do is, you know, is kind of a two-pronged, you know, or two-faceted approach, which is teach them and teach them how to teach others at the same time. So when, and my approach is really, because oftentimes I'm the first guy. This is an entry point to them. They haven't done this. They haven't really talked about it. So they're new to it. And of course there's a lot of new techs. We talk a lot, you know, mostly I'm working with techs. So there's a lot of people that are new to the industry in general. But to answer your question, first thing I kind of want to do is help them be kind of calm about IAQ. Stop making it seem like it's not a big deal. You're already doing it to some extent. You're putting in filters. You're doing air conditioners are both comfort and IAQ. I mean,
right.
Relative humidity is the single, and this is a fact, you know, it's the single biggest driving factor that causes poor indoor air quality. So, you know, so I want them to kind of be, you know, sort of, as you say, they're doing the V, you know, and then the second thing I want to do is help them understand that to take a more of a holistic approach, a system approach, and then so that when the homeowner asks, why are you doing this? Why, I thought you were going to replace this part, and now you're talking about, an ERV, so that you can tell them why. You can say, because it's what you need. We tested and we know that you have high levels of carbon dioxide, and that's what you need. In addition to that, like you said, there are a lot of complicated ways that you can achieve ventilation. And there, you know, and it's absolutely dependent regionally. There are, you know, in areas where it's more temperate climate, you can mess it up a little bit and not make a big, and it's not a big deal. In places like Houston, New Orleans, where it's extremely humid, you mess up that ventilation, you go a little bit too negative, you can cause serious problems.
Oh, absolutely.
So I really, my approach has been, I try and tell them to gravitate towards ERVs and HRVs. And I know that there are other ways to do it. There are more complicated ways, but I think that's the single easiest and therefore most effective and efficient way for the contractor or for a tech to approach it, as far as from a solution oriented, and as well as I think it's going to be the most sustainable, because you don't have a whole lot of different interdependent, you know, cross communication parts, and then again, you don't have to worry so much about, you know, making that slight mistake and having devastating results in that house. So I guess I feel like I sell ERVs. I really do. But I don't.
Yeah, it's interesting. Big thing, you know, when we first started testing and the VOC sensor came out, this was before the CO2 sensor was added to AirAdvice. Again, same solution for VOCs. Dilution is the solution to pollution. Now, you cited an interesting study earlier this week that I thought was really relevant for a lot of the people that may be listening to this. You were talking about, you did a study on all these system replacements.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened with the retail purchases from the big box stores of IAQ products after? If you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yep, I don't remember that.
So you were talking, you and John Ellis were talking a little bit. So John Ellis also teaches some of our IAQ classes. And you guys were talking about that there was a study
Done. That's a market research company.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a market research company that I used to update. It's a single slide in my onboarding training, and every year I would update it because every year they would predict based on previous year's sales how much money would be spent in the United States in IAQ.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped updating it in 2020 because I think it's even more fascinating that they were predicting that over $2 billion would be spent in IAQ products in before COVID, and that the majority of that is going to be spent at big box stores.
Yeah.
And the reason, the whole point of that slide when I bring it up is to let them know that, or let the contractors understand that the only reason why they're going to the big box store is because they don't know that you do it.
Right.
So yeah, it's a good, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, again, from our perspective as a business, we are a zero pressure sales tool.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying, use this in every house and just talk about IAQ with people. Show them facts. Based on facts, this is what, you know, the customization or the upgrades that we feel that your HVAC system needs. And that's it. You know, that's a great to bring that up. I was just having a conversation yesterday with some sales trainers, and we were talking about like our sales approach. And our sales approach is don't sell. You customize your system, fix it. You know, if you go to a house and the air conditioning compressor is broke, are you selling them a new air conditioning compressor or are you replacing it? You know, you could look at it either way.
Right.
But generally, yeah, our perspective is that that folks need it, that folks are spending money on it, and they just don't know where to spend their money. And if you can be a consultant to them, if you can help them understand where best to spend their money, then they'll spend it with you.
Yeah. Those that remember the old Sharper Images catalog in the Sky Mall that used to be in all the airplanes, there was this little product that was called the Ionic Breeze.
Right.
And they just sold millions of them across North America. And it was just a huge, huge selling item because people wanted clean air. But the fact of the matter is it only cleaned about a 5-foot area around the actual device itself. And so what did Ionic Breeze say? Well, we'll buy one for every room. And so they were selling multiple of them out there. But what I think a lot of contractors don't understand, they were selling those for $1,000 a piece. And what a lot of contractors don't understand is they have solutions that are far superior to many of those portable air cleaners that are out there. And they can actually save the homeowner money by offering the correct solution for saving many of these challenges that are out there.
Agreed. And when you talk about saving money too, I mean, we're just talking about, you know, immediate return on investment just on their HVAC system. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about days missed from school. You're not talking about going to the doctor, your medicine for your allergies, your COPD. And I try not in the training not to get too deep, not to make contractors think that they have to present themselves as medical doctors. In fact, mm-hmm. you know, bad idea in general.
Right.
However, to understand that there is absolutely a connection between our health and the air that we breathe. And, you know, why wouldn't there be? We spend, if we live to be 79 years old, we'll spend 90% of our time indoors. That's 69 years that you'll spend inside. And about 54 years you'll spend in your own home. So obviously the air you breathe is going to affect your health. Obviously, if you have asthma or any other sort of respiratory issue, it's not only aggravated by it, but can actually even cause respiratory issues. But and again, you know, you bring up another good point, I think, because another thing that I try and help the contractor understand is that when they're talking to a homeowner, the homeowner accepts the fact that they have to, or believes that bad indoor air quality is something that they have to live with. They don't, I use the analogy of like a leaky roof. If their roof leaked, they would think they know that there's something wrong.
Mm.
They expect their roof not to leak, but they don't expect their HVAC system to provide them with clean air. They only think in terms of comfort, but they should expect it to give them clean air. That's what the V does.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, so let's talk a little bit about what exactly does Air Advice for Homes do? For those that are not familiar, how does this enable, empower a contractor to have these fact-based conversations?
Yeah, I mean, so if you break it down to the kind of rudimentary levels, we sell a monitor, and then you have a subscription that, as I said before, provides you with unlimited training, customer service, and marketing tools. But if you look at from the macro level, what we're trying to do is give you a turnkey IAQ program, a program. And it's not very sexy. We're definitely, if anybody out there has any better ideas, if you have any better ideas for terminology, let me know. But we've bantered around, maybe we should call it an IAQ system. Maybe we should call it, but it's none of it's exciting enough. But the point is that what we're trying to do is give you, again, the keys to either, if you're already doing IAQ, to do it right, to do it better, to make it more profitable, to make it more targeted. We provide all the support that you need for that.
Yeah. So basically a technician or a comfort advisor while they're out there in the home already. So the comfort advisor may be out there doing a sales call. The technician might be out there doing a tune up or a service call. And you can just say, hey, as part of our service today, I'm going to just set this monitor here. And they plug it in and it immediately starts collecting data, right?
Right. No buttons.
Right. And so it collects the data. And then what happens after that?
So there's 6 individual sensors, mm-hmm. and every sensor takes a air sample every minute. After 30 minutes, it takes that information and it sends it via a cell phone connection to our server. Server digests it and puts it into a report. And that report is emailed to you so that you can present it to the homeowner. And the report has been engineered to do the heavy lifting, to be a communication tool. Lots of colors, pictures, explanations, and it kind of takes you through a process of what that parameter is, what sort of health concerns it has, some potential causes for it, and then finally, what kind of recommended actions we have. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, it will, if you have elevated levels of any single or multiple parameters, it will also make what we call solution pages. So we'll say, for high CO2, these are the good, better, best Daikin, Amana, Goodman products that we provide. And so it really is what we're really trying to do is make sure that as a tech, you don't have to have any expertise in indoor air quality. So you can just matter-of-factly present the report, tell them about what, now you saw their system, you know what they need, and this is what you recommend.
Yeah, so it really does take all that pressure off of that technician or that comfort advisor, because they can basically say, here's the facts.
Yep.
Here's where the roof's leaking. And right. Here's the solutions. What do you want to do?
Right.
And customer can decide what they want to do.
Right. And and so often in training, people say, what if they say this? And what if they tell me that? And I'd say, don't do it then. Don't worry about it. Go to the next house.
Right.
You're not going to sell all the time. And there's, there's folks that have great sales programs that it can fit mm-hmm. right into, but they might have a different mentality about it or teach a different thing. That's up to them, whatever they're comfortable with. But at the very least, a guy right now, a one truck guy right now can grab one, go to a house, present the report and say, you have. And oftentimes it's even more simplistic than that. Frequently, you work on the system, you see they have a 1-inch filter, and you already got a pretty good idea that they need filtration. And lo and behold, you get a report, they have high levels of particles. So it just helps you go, this is why I think you need me to, put in a 5-inch filter slot, and you need a high MERV filter, or maybe you really need a HEPA filtration. And that HEPA filter isn't going to work if we don't fix your ductwork. And it's not going to work if we don't make sure that your controls are upgraded so that it's moving air consistently.
Right.
So that's why I know that you called me to fix your air conditioner, but I just want to let you know, you need, you know, your whole system needs improvement, and that's why I'm recommending this stuff.
Jay, this has been very informative. Do you have any last thoughts or words of wisdom that you want to share with our guests?
Hug your kids. You never know. I just want to say, I guess my one word of wisdom, if we're really, when we're talking about product solutions and IAQs, it again, because ultimately it is about recommending that action. And if you want to use the word sales, you can use the word sales, but this whole program is about doing something. It's not about testing. Mm. It's not about, you know, gathering information for your master's thesis. It is about getting to the point where we do work, where we actually install something or fix something. And I think that's the big thing, because there is a huge need for it. And, you know, again, back to that carbon dioxide thing, you know, oftentimes the answer or the solution or what's going to help those people is more expensive and more difficult to get them to understand and sometimes more difficult to install. But the more that you do it, the more that you're going to understand the way to do it, the best way to do it. And at the end of the day, people will thank you that you help them and their family feel better and literally live a better life. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, yep. Jay. I appreciate you coming out here. And for all of you that are out there, if you like this episode, please go ahead and hit like and make sure that you follow us so you can be informed of all of the upcoming episodes that we have on the Accelerated HVAC Success.